Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
Our hearts is for this generation that's graduating, and they're moving into this new and exciting chapter of their lives. For some of them, as you heard, that next chapter is more schooling. It's advancing in their education, and it's them pursuing degrees for a certain field and a career. For some of them, that chapter is a technical school where they're going to learn to specialize in a certain trade. For some of them, that chapter is going into the workforce and starting up businesses and different things like that. I know Elijah, I'll just cheer him on a little bit. He's in high school, but he already has his own pressure washing business, and he does well with that. And so they're doing all sorts of things. But one thing is true for all of them, right? One thing that none of them can escape or avoid is the reality of adulthood, right? When life just hits you, right? There's a personal responsibility of life and then all of its decisions, right? And how that affects the rest of your life. And I have prayed, graduates, I want you to know that I've prayed for every single one of you. Many times when you knew nothing of it, but being able to get to know some of them over the past couple years a little bit better, it's been an answer to my prayers, and then some of you being here has been an answer to my prayers. But my prayer for every single one of you has been this, that you would live, that you would walk, and that you would breathe in the destiny that God has set for your life. I genuinely and I sincerely pray that over every graduate in this room. And I know that that will look different for every individual person. But I've prayed, and I'm going to continue to pray above everything else, that God's will be done for your life. Not my will, even for my own son, not my will, not Amanda's will. Parents, don't get mad at me, but I'm not even praying your will for them. I'm praying God's will for their life, because sometimes our plans are different than his plans, but his plans are always better. So I'm praying God's will be done in your life. But our hearts are not just for this graduating generation, but for every generation that is coming up after us, right? We desperately want to see every generation, young and old, have a lasting encounter with Jesus Christ, one that's a life-changing encounter with his presence. I like to call it a Damascus Road experience, where Saul was turned to Paul, right? Where something, you have an encounter with Jesus and everything changes. The way you see things, the way you think about things, the way you go about things. It changes everything in your life, right? We believe so much in that, right? That we've embedded it and we've engraved it into our vision for this church. That vision's on that back wall, right? It says to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ through outreaches of giving and lifestyles of love to pursue the next great awakening for future generations. We here at Remnant Church are in pursuit of a great awakening for all of us, not just some of us, but for all of us here and then all of those that are coming up after us. We want an awakening of hearts in sons and daughters of the living God to know and experience the love of their Heavenly Father in such a way that they never turn from Him or they want anything else above Him. So we need a turning of our hearts. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is from one generation to the next, is a turning of our hearts. So if you have your Bibles, you can go to Malachi chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 4, 5, and 6. Malachi 4, 4, 5, and 6. This is what it says. It says, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." So something we got to realize is this is the last three verses in the book of Malachi. And I want you to recognize this. Malachi is the last prophet of God that we hear from in the Old Testament until we hear from John the Baptist in the New Testament. And so from Malachi all the way up to John the Baptist in the New Testament was a span of about 400 years. So Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. So when we read the last three verses of Malachi in the Old Testament, right before in the Word of God, we're turning a really big page and we're going into the New Testament. These are the last few things that the Holy Spirit would say to us in this entire section before we go into the New Covenant. So I believe that those last few verses are of some great importance, and we need to pay attention to that and see what the prophet of God is saying. And as we read these closing statements, I think in those three verses, there are some things that we read that we would probably expect to read. There's some things in there we would expect to see, but then maybe there are some things that are said that I think we would not expect. So we would expect that there would be this kind of bridge between the old and the new, between what God has said and done in the past and what he says he's going to do in the future. And we do have that right there. In verse 4, we have the command to look back and remember the law of Moses. Let me read verse 4 to you again. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded to him in Oreb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. So this is a backwards glance to remember all the things that God has said and all the things that God has done. The backwards glance, remembering, will always be a crucial part of biblical faith, right? To look back and remember all the great things that God has done. Because if we look back and we see, hey, he parted the Red Sea, that means he made a way when there was no way. And for us in our life, even in this new covenant, that he can make a way when there seems to be no way. If we look back and we read what God has done, how he healed the sick, that blinded eyes were open, deaf ears were open, and the lame people were made to walk, that the dead were raised. If we look back and we read the great things of God, we can again attest today that God is still able to do those things. He's the same God. I'm the Lord God, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the looking back's always an important part. How would we know the path to God's future blessings if he had not spoken and done things in the past, and we look back at that? It's testimonies of the greatness of God. So we always must look back to the sure, fixed, infallible, inerrant Word of God to help us have hope for the future, right? And so the bridge stretches not only back to the Word of God in Mount Oreb, but then it also stretches forward, and it says in these verses, to the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's a curious statement, right? A great and a dreadful day. The great and dreadful day of the Lord. This is the day that when God will bring the history of mankind to a decisive climax, right? Where we, those who have rejected Christ, will kneel in judgment. That's what the Word says. But yet those who have put their faith in him and who have trusted and believed in him will be welcomed into eternity with God forever. So for those who have placed their faith in God, it's going to be a great day. Amen? Can I get an amen? Have you put your faith in God? That's going to be a great day. For those who've not, it'll be a dreadful day. That's the statement. It's a great and a dreadful day. Verse 5 again. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So in other words, as the Old Testament closes, God makes it known that, hey, I'm not done yet. This is not the end, right? This is the end of a chapter, but it's not the end. By any means, I'm not finished. I've got plans. I'm sending the Messiah. I'm sending a Savior so all can be saved if they choose to be. So he says there's a great day of victory that's still on its way. And there's preparations that are being made for that great day so the people of God can be ready. All people who choose to follow him can be ready. So that's kind of what you would expect at the end of the Old Testament before going into the New. It's a bridge between the old and new. A look back at the faithful work of God in the past and a look forward to his coming final victory. But what I think we would not expect as some of the final words in the Old Testament is a pointed and specific focus on the relationships between fathers and children. It's kind of curious, right there at the end. This is what's thrown in there. But really, I want to say this, between the older generation to the younger generation. Of all the things that Malachi, the prophet of God, could have said that the Spirit of God moved upon him to write, what he could have said about the preaching of the future Elijah, he chooses to tell us this. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So when the future Elijah comes and preaches and he cries out for people to get ready for the great and terrible day of the Lord, what is the aim in that? His aim is to spare people from being cursed. That's what it says, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So what that is actually, in that preaching, it's the mercy of God being exemplified even in the greatest days of tribulation, okay? But for people to be spared, it says that there must be a change. More specifically, it says that hearts must be changed. And even more specifically, it says that the hearts of the fathers towards their children should be changed, and that the hearts of the children should be changed or turned towards their father. It's a turning. Some will read that verse, and I've heard people talk about this verse and preach about it before, and they refer to that as being the fathers of our faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Given to us at the beginning of the Word of God in Genesis. So that meaning in that verse would simply be that people return to the faith of the forefathers. And I don't have a problem with that. And I think that would be great if we all had the faith of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob as is displayed in Scripture. The only fault I have with that is that it doesn't just say that the hearts of the children will be turned to the fathers, but it also says that the hearts of the fathers should be turned towards their children. And I just think and believe it would be unlikely that God would speak of Elijah changing the hearts of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So I just take it in a more simple sense. Ordinary living fathers and ordinary living children, whether they be your natural and physical parents or children, or whether they be your spiritual parents and children, they should have their hearts changed towards each other. So what does it mean for a father or the older generation? So I'm saying father a lot, but when I say father, I want you to understand I'm talking about the older generation. When I say children, I want you to understand I'm talking about the younger generation, the generation after you, okay? So what does it mean for the older generation to turn his heart towards the younger generation? Well, first thing we could ask is, what is the opposite of having a heart turned towards a child? The opposite is to have your heart turned away. Have your heart turned away. Am I right in saying that? The opposite of having your heart turned towards your child is to have your heart turned away. Older generation, fathers, mothers, grandparents, everybody hear me out. We can have our hearts turned away from our children or the next generation simply by just ignoring them. And this may not even be a intentional ignoring, but we can sometimes get so swallowed up in our work. We can get so consumed with social media and all these different platforms that captivate the audience of the world now, right? We can get so caught up in our cell phones and our iPads and all our tablets and our gadgets and the TV and our shows and our sports programs. We can get so consumed in our own hobbies that all the younger generation gets from us is what's left over after all of that. We can have our hearts turned away from our children even by the words that come out of our mouth. And we may not even realize it, but sometimes our communication with them can become just a truckload of put-downs and disapprovals. But we don't feel what they feel. We don't try to understand sometimes. Maybe because we've got stuck in this routine and our hearts have become calloused or frozen towards them. Maybe our hearts are turned away from the younger generation through a spirit of disappointment. Maybe they're not living the way you want them to live right now. Maybe sometimes you feel forgotten by them. Maybe you feel like you get taken for granted because of all you do for them. You never get a thank you for all you've done, all you did, and all you're doing. Where does that leave our hearts then? It may leave our hearts turned away from our children. It may leave our hearts turned away from the next generation. And all that happens unintentionally. It's not something we did on purpose. What I mean is you don't sit there and say, I'm turning my heart away from them. It's just something that gradually happened over time. But what about the other way around, right? Because it's not just the hearts of the fathers towards the children, but the hearts of the children towards their fathers. What about the next generation with hearts that need to be turned towards this older generation? To fathers, to mothers, to grandparents. What kind of hearts would that apply to today? I think it can apply to rebellious hearts, disobedient hearts. And that could be a 5-year-old or it could be an 18-year-old, right? The question is, where is the heart? Is it at a place where it says, well, my way is better than their way? They don't know nothing. Y'all are out of touch. You're old, you're outdated, you don't understand. You're not in touch with this culture, this society, you're out of touch, you don't know anything. They're always wrong, and you're always right. If it's at a place like that, their hearts may need to be turned towards their parents and realize, hey, we only want what's best for you. Right? This could apply to children of any age. That maybe neglect their parents and or grandparents or even the older generation. Listen, notice, it does not say that the father or the child can turn the heart of the other. That's not what it says. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is our own heart and making sure that our own heart is turned toward in the direction that it needs to be pointed. So the word of God to the older generation this morning is this: turn your hearts towards the younger generation. Don't just give them the crumbs of your life. Don't be unkind. Don't be too busy for them. And don't constantly criticize. But turn your hearts towards them and let the bitterness of everything you've experienced in this life go. And teach them the goodness and the wisdom of God in it. That you've learned. Sow into them the wisdom and the knowledge that you've gained in this life. Share with them the faithfulness of God and the testimonies of the great works that he's done in you. That's a looking back, but you're giving it to them. Share it with them. The word of God to the younger generation would be this: turn your hearts towards your fathers and your mothers and all those in the older generation before you. Don't rebel, don't disobey, but be teachable. Be willing to learn. Be willing to grow. Turn your hearts to your mothers and fathers and grandparents and the older generation, and don't just dismiss them like they're out of date and out of touch. Don't just forget about them or neglect them, but help care for them. Be grateful for the things that they sow into your life and the time that they are willing to take and partake of the wisdom that they have to offer. Now, I want you to take what I'm saying this morning in both a natural and a spiritual sense. Take this and apply this to your children at home, mothers and fathers that are here. Children, take this and apply it at home to your parents. But here, church, hear me out, church. Us that are seasoned in the faith, let's help raise and grow up these younger people in the faith, right? We got to become spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers who say, do as I do, not do as I say. Because first, we got to set the example. If we do anything first, we got to set the example. And in this world right now, in this society, in this culture, there is a generation that is in tremendous need of spiritual mothers and fathers. There's a tremendous need for it. Because there is a spiritual cry that is coming forth from the younger generations, and it seems they don't even know what they're really crying out for. So it's inarticulate. They don't know. They're searching for something, but they really don't even know what they're searching for. And because they don't know what they're actually searching for, they're willing to try anything. Somebody offers them some drugs, they say, hey, maybe that's it. I'll try that. Maybe it'll help ease the pain. Maybe it'll help me feel accepted. Somebody presents them with the wrong relationship, and they say, hey, maybe that's it. Maybe I'll try that. And they get mixed up in the wrong things, right? And they're doing things they should never do. They get presented with a lie from the devil. It says, you wasn't born that way. You should be this. And they start believing this lie. And they're drawn into mass confusion. And they're struggling with their identity. They say, hey, maybe this is it. I'll try this. Maybe this is it. I'll try this. They try these things over and over again, and they're never satisfied. They're searching for something. They do not know what it is, but what they really want is the truth. They need the truth. What did Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They want something that's real. They want something that's genuine. They want something that's authentic, not fake. And I got to tell y'all something this morning. Religion is not going to cut it. Religion cannot touch people, right? It's going to take the very presence of God. It's going to take carriers of His presence. Do we not know that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit? We are meant to be carriers of His presence. It's going to take spiritual mothers and fathers and older generations that will show them the way. Religion makes us untouchable. Let me tell you this. Back in Jesus' day, the religious people, they called them the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Did you know that really, this is the truth in history, they had their own walkways. They didn't walk where everybody else walked. And they created their own walkways where they could walk so they could not be touched or have to touch what they called unclean people. Religion made them turn their noses up. Religion caused them to keep their distance from people. Religion caused them to have a holier-than-thou kind of attitude. And God from heaven above sees all this going on. He says, listen, here's my son, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the very Son of God. And he sent him down and he clothed him in garments of human flesh. And Jesus said, those that carry my word, or who are supposed to be carrying my word, who are supposed to be carrying my presence, who are supposed to be mothers, who are supposed to be fathers, who claim to be mine, they will not even touch my people. So I'm going to release myself to them. And I'm going to come and I'm going to walk among them. So harlots can touch me. So drunkards can touch me. So those that are outcasted and unclean and ostracized can come and they can touch me. So those that are searching for truth can know it. Scripture teaches us that if we train up a child in the way they should go, when they're older, they will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. In other words, this is what that scripture says. As that child grows, if we're sowing the word of God into them, if we're showing them the way, if we're not afraid to get close, no matter as they grow, no matter how old they get or where they are or whatever they may be doing, what we have instilled into the next generation, what we have sowed and planted into their heart, it does stick with them. Now, they may not be doing exactly what you think they should do, but I'm going to tell you this. They will not be able to escape it, whether they're living it or not. It will always be in the back of their mind. It'll always be in the depths of their heart, reminding them of who they are and whose they are. Y'all can believe me. I've been there, right? I thank God for a mom and daddy that loved me enough to get me in church every time the doors were open. I love what Justin always says when he preaches. He said, when I was growing up, I had a drug problem. He said, my parents drug me to church when I wanted to go and when I didn't. I had parents that got me in church every time the doors were open. They made sure I was there. I thank God for that. Because in a moment in my life, when I wasn't living the way I was supposed to, there was things that were sowed into me, and they were in the depths of my heart, in the back of my mind. I was thinking about it. I'm like, I was thinking about the Lord. I know I'm better than this. I know better than this, right? It never left me. It did not depart from me. I thank God for men of God who took time to sow into my life to help take me from where I was spiritually speaking to where I needed to be, to bring correction, a word of correction into my life when I needed it, to encourage me in spite of my failures when I failed, and I messed up a lot. I thank God for these men that helped guide and direct me to a moment where I would have a personal encounter with God and His presence that changed my life. But that happened because I had mothers, spiritual mothers and fathers, and natural mother and father that guided me down that path. So what do we do? What do we do with a generation that's searching, that's crying out? What do? We have to do the same thing that others did for me and for you. We have to father them. We have to mother them. We have to turn our hearts towards them. We walk with them. We talk with them. We lay hands and we pray for one another and we bless them. One thing I've learned being in and around church a lot of my life, my father got saved when I was 5 years old. Before that, he was a hellion rebellion, right? I still get stories about my dad. I worked in the car business, me and my brother still's in the car business, but I worked in the car business for 15 years. We would have truck drivers that, from all over the place, we'd sign our last name. They're like, you know Petey Hutt? I got a story about that guy. Like, complete strangers. Like, oh. And I've had all kinds of stories. My dad was as wild as they come, but the Lord, I remember, I was five, but I remember the Lord changed his life. His heart was turned. And then he, in turn, guided his family on a path to the Lord. But one thing I've learned about from being in church, around church most of my life, is that we got a lot of teachers and we got a lot of preachers, but we hardly have any spiritual mothers and fathers. It's heartbreaking. We got a lot of people who want to tell other people how to live, but are too afraid or too prideful to show you how to live. We got a lot of orphan people in the church. And the results of that play out in the world. But we need spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers who have hearts that are turned toward the next generation to pass down knowledge, to pass down wisdom, to pass down anointing, to pass down perseverance and faithfulness. There's one thing that's consistent in Scripture is that great men of God followed great men of God. Right? Go read it. For Abraham, there was an Isaac. For Isaac, there was a Jacob. For Moses, there was a Joshua. For David, there was a Solomon. For Elijah, there was Elisha. And the list could go on. You know why this is so important? Amanda, you can come. I'm getting ready to close. You know why it's so important? For the hearts of the fathers and mothers, the hearts of the older generation to be turned towards their children, and then the hearts of the children to be turned towards their fathers, the older generation. That's so important because that is exactly what our Heavenly Father did for us. God the Father, in the fall of mankind, He looked down and He said, they can't do this on their own. And His heart was turned towards us. And He said, I'm going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And that way's name is Jesus. And so as His heart, as the Heavenly Father's heart was turned towards us and for us, He sent Jesus, right? John 3:16, most popular scripture in the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Goes on to say, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. He sent Him to save us. Why? Because His heart was for us. It was turned for us. And here's the beauty of that. This is why these last three verses in the Old Testament are so powerful, because it's exactly what God did for us, and it's exactly how we receive salvation. His heart was turned towards us, and so He sent His Son. and to simply receive eternal life, our heart just needs to be turned towards Him. Just needs to be turned toward Him and say, I recognize that You are good, that You are love, that You are kind. And even in the hardships of this life and even in my failures, You only want what's best for me. Even when You have sent correction my way, it was because You love me. And when our hearts are fixed on Him and turned towards Him through love, it makes everything else easy. You know, without giving too many details, this past week, I got to sit down with some other men for a breakfast, and the Lord really speaks to me a lot of times just about practice what you preach. I never want to be seen as a hypocrite. I want to be genuine. I want to be real. And so I had an opportunity this past week, and I've done this a lot, but this past week was just so powerful. I just feel like it was a divine appointment where I sat down with some other men and we talked, and there was this one gentleman that had sat down with us for the first time. We just talked about life, and the more we talked about the goodness of God and things He had done for us and things we had experienced, that one of the young men began to open up to us, and we got to minister to him and talk to him, and it literally felt like I was... Now, this person was too old to be my child, but it felt like I was fathering a child. And I thought, this is the notes that I've been writing all week in action. My heart's desire for this church and every church across the globe is that our hearts would begin to turn towards one another. First, towards Him. Listen, I started out in prayer saying, there was a lawmaker said, hey, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it, I love your neighbor as yourself. The first thing our hearts have to be turned towards is God our Father. That He's good. That He sent His Son to save us. And when we experience His love like that and know and are truly grateful for it, that makes loving our neighbor a lot easier. It's a heart that is turned toward the Father and a heart that is turned towards the children. And if we want to see real change in the world, we want to see a great awakening, which is what we're pursuing here at this church, is what we say we're pursuing. If we want to see that, then we got to set some stuff aside and be willing to spend some time with some people. We get so caught up and we give our time to so many things when there's a generation that's crying out and says, I just need somebody to show me the way. So my challenge to you this morning is to take time and say, have I been too busy? For your own kids, but also for the younger generation in the church. Have I been too busy? And have I had a heart that's turned away from them simply out of unintentionality? I didn't mean for it to get this way, but that's just what happens sometimes in life, right? But the good thing is we can recognize that and turn our heart towards them. Younger generation, you can ask yourself, have I been just rebellious for no reason? Have I been ungrateful for no reason? Have I dismissed my parents or my grandparents or the older generation for no reason? Other than I just want to do things my way. I challenge you, take a moment. Search your own heart. Say, is my heart turned away from them or for them, towards them? We need to check our hearts. This is what I want you to do. I want you to stand. If you wouldn't mind, just every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, I don't do that every service. Some services I do it, sometimes I don't. I just feel led to do it today. If you hear this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I feel like I got a heart issue. I know my heart has been turned towards so many things but God. My priorities are out of whack. This is what we first got to understand is God's not mad at you about that. He's not upset with you about that. He is actually saying, hey, if you'll turn your heart toward me, I'll help you through this. So, if you hear this morning, you say, I know I got a heart issue, but I'm willing to allow God to help me turn it. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Across the room, you know, if your heart, whether your heart's, if it's turned towards him or not, whether it's turned towards your children or not, whether it's turned towards the older generation or not, if that's you, throw your hand up and put it right back down. See them. We need a turning of our hearts. Father God, I pray. I pray that you would speak to every heart in this room. As David prayed, we pray, search me and know me. Know our ways, know our hearts. See if there's any wicked way in us. If there's a turning away or a turning towards. And God, help us turn it the way and the direction it needs to be pointed. Whether that's towards you for salvation, towards the next generation coming after us, towards the generation that has come before us. Wherever our heart needs to be turned, I pray, God, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would begin to convict us and help us turn it so we can live out every purpose you've given us for our families, for our workplaces, for our churches, for this world. Our hearts are for you. Help us see that. This is what we're going to do. Amanda's going to begin to play and sing. And this altar is going to be open. If you raised your hand for any reason, maybe you should have but didn't, maybe the Lord's just speaking to you about something. Or if you need prayer, we're going to open up this altar. We want you to come down, spend some moments with Him, and let Him work on your heart. Let Him work on your heart. If there's anybody in here, that's guilty of the things that I've preached, I've been guilty of it. I've gotten so busy sometimes. I've not tried to relate. But the Lord worked on my heart about that, and I'm working to be better at that. Be teachable this morning. Be clay in the hands of the potter. Let Him make you and mold you. As we sing, if the Lord's speaking with you, come.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.